Yes, we are Darren in Monaco, and we'd like to thank Bob and Green Keith for inviting us back here again. And like you're saying, 4 years we've been coming here, and it's great because we recognize faces, we see people, and it's like, wow, you guys are like family. So it's really cool to come back here and talk to you again and experience God here. But we are not kings and queens like this picture shows. Isn't photo editing wonderful? However, we are fortunate and we are blessed. We have a lot of freedom. We have food. We have roof over our heads, clothing. We're giving opportunity and education. We're given the ability to try to reach our potential. We have the time to relax, enjoy, spend time with friends and family. However, it's not because we're more capable, more responsible. It's not because we tried harder or made better decisions. It's really just because of where we were born. So when I first visited a poor country, I was taken back by their horrible lifestyle in comparison to my beautiful and comfortable lifestyle. And many of you have gone cross-cultural too, and so you know this. Underdressed children, the heat, the garbage, the lack of sanitation, unsafe drinking water, without education, without Medicare. And I would come home to my beautiful house and think, why? Why was I given all this wealth and comfort and they weren't? And at first I began to feel confused. Why wasn't somebody doing something about that? That is awful. Do other people know about this? And then guilt. What was I doing about this? And then a bit of anger. Well, it wasn't my fault. I didn't cause that. And I started to defend myself. But then after struggling with this, God spoke to me and gave me a verse, Romans 8:1. And he said, "For there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." You know, God didn't want me to feel guilty. Satan did. He wants us to feel guilty and then defend ourselves and not do anything. God just wanted me to know that these are his people too, and to feel compassion because God loves these people too. According to the World Bank, there's a projected 700 million people in 2015 who are in extreme poverty. And this is the garbage dump area in Siem Reap, and I took this picture. It's next to the village that we work in. And when I saw this, I was appalled. A garbage truck would come, the people would run towards the truck, and they were all kind of like that. As the garbage was falling out, the first thing that fell, which I missed taking the picture, was all the drudge. You know all the sludge that's in the bottom of a garbage? All that drudge fell first, and they're all like this, trying to keep themselves covered from it. And then the garbage truck would pull away, and then they would have their hoe. They have that bag in the back of their thing that you can see, and then they would start to garbage collect. You know, being in poverty doesn't mean you lack money, food, and shelter. Being in poverty makes you vulnerable. I took this picture while we were renting in Phnom Penh last year. And if you see that man in the green shirt, you can see he's walking along rebar that's sticking out of a fourth-story building. You know, he's in construction work. He's dragging a hose behind him that's causing more instability. And if you look at his footwear, he's wearing flip-flops. What if he were to fall? Do you think that there's accident insurance? Do you think he'd be treated in a good hospital? What if he were to die? Would the organization he's working for miss him? Would his family be compensated? You know, the poor are thought to be disposable. If one dies, there's always another poor person to take his place. Profiting organizations don't care. The poor are exploited. And how are they exploited? Here's some of the many ways. This is from the 2016 Global Report on Trafficking in Persons, written by the United Nations and Drug and Crime Report. So that's where I'm getting my stats from. So they have child soldiers, forced begging, forced marriages, selling children, removal of organs. They have forced labor, but the worst is sexual exploitation. You know, the opposite of poverty is not wealth. The opposite of poverty is justice. When people are poor, they experience injustice. And what is justice? Mark Lutz, in a book called On Poverty, writes, "Economists, ethicists, philosophers have written extensively about justice, but what I have learned from the working poor is that justice simply means that everyone has a realistic opportunity to meet their basic human needs." And what does the Bible say about that? "Speak up for the people who have no voice, for the rights of all the down and outers. Speak out for justice. Stand up for the poor and the destitute. Justice. Let people have the opportunity to meet their own basic needs." So that's why we started Work of Your Hand. The purpose of Work of Your Hand is to help the underprivileged and marginalized people in developing nations find hope through Jesus and dignity through meaningful work that pays a fair wage and enables them to provide for their own families. And we want to help increase justice for the poor, a realistic opportunity for them to meet their own basic needs. So the vision behind Work of Your Hand was to purchase crafts and products, as you've seen in the back, and you know this from us, and then sell them here, and then with the proceeds, buy more from them, and able to create work for them, dignified work for them, and so that they can support their own families. And this is Adelaida, and she makes the juice packs. You know, these bags have a story. They have the name of the person who made it on the bag, and it helps empower the poor to earn a dignified living. And they're so strong, though, that once you buy one, you probably don't need to buy another one, and many of you have. And please let me know if, what you think of them. You can tell that we use them for groceries or books or bricks if you really want. I think it could support that. You know, doing what is right and fair pleases the Lord more than offerings. We just want to please God, and we feel His pleasure when we work with the poor in fairness. We love it. It gives us purpose. Also in the Philippines, we work with another Christian organization called Samaritana, committed to sharing out gospel living among Filipino women caught in prostitution and in partnership with other members of the body of Christ. So women who work at this center found dignified employment, has equipped them to be better people. And one woman said, "When I make jewelry, I feel joy. I imagine that each small bead represents my life, which is full of trials, but now it's put together and made whole and more beautiful and complete." When justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous. God gives us this amazing sense of purpose and passion when we help bring justice to the poor. We also purchase products from Sinamay missionaries in Bandung, Indonesia, with the beaded Christmas balls. And this is a Christian organization working in a Muslim country. And what an amazing witness. If your enemies are hungry, give them something to eat. And if they are thirsty, give them something to drink. Work of Your Hand purchases products in Laos. You know, during the Vietnam War, when the U.S. bombed what was called the Ho Chi Minh Trail, it was a trail that began northern Vietnam but ran through Laos to attack southern Vietnam. And because of that, Laos had 9 years of bombing. Once every 8 minutes, 24 hours a day, for 9 years, a bomb was dropped in Laos. These families, the family of these ladies in this picture, used to grow heroin 40 years ago. Because back in the 80s, they were the Hmong people who were fighting with the Americans against communism. But when the U.S. pulled out and basically lost the war, they were left with what? They were thrown in jail, not given jobs. So in order to survive, they grew heroin. And so then by 1990, Laos had become the third largest producer of illicit opium in the world and had the second highest rate of addiction also. But Kama Crafts, a U.S. organization, wanted to help, and it's part of the Relief and Development Arm of Christian Missionary Alliance, and they help them give them dignified work through the making of handicrafts. And so that's what you'll see in the back there of all the stitchery that we have. And here's some cute aprons that they also make. They have about 220 families that make products for them. You know, they say that 20% of all Hmong people have become believers because of Kama Crafts, and that's in a communist country. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. Instruction will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. Justice has become a light to the nations, and people are coming to faith. As you know, Darren and I also felt called to work in Cambodia. 2015, we moved to Cambodia, began a greeting card program where the ladies that scavenge in the garbage dump can find dignified work there. And so, as you know, the cards are designed and the materials are all purchased here, most of it. And for 2 years, there was a short-term team that came and helped the Khmer people to make cards and things like that. So here's a picture of a team that came out. And because of that, there are beautiful cards like these being made. And these were actually customized for Dave Hearn, our president. So I don't know if you can, next slide, if you can see, but it's Christ-centered, spirit-empowered, mission-focused. So that was really cool. And they're assembled by beautiful ladies that can provide for their own families. And this is Sakna and Vanda, Lynn's kids. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family And when she's able to help her family, this is how the family feels. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And the community is being changed there. Just a note about the greeting cards. We need to sell them. We have a lot of greeting cards. We have a lot. So we're going to put on a sale. So we have a, so normally they're $5.50, but we want to sell them. But if you buy 100, we sell them for $3.50. Now, I know that there's not very many of you that maybe want to buy 100 cards. So I was thinking, if you guys get in groups and all together, like, you know, there's 20 of you and you want to, and you do that, that's fine too. So we just want to, yeah, sell as many cards as we can to provide work for the ladies. So then it'll be $3.50 a card. We also want to provide opportunity for the children. So we've started a kids' English ministry on a weekly basis. And it's wonderful because we can see that they're already improving. And it's kind of like that, out in the bush. We also want to help the adults. Many of the adults only have a third degree education and they've forgotten how to read. So we want to give them something that nobody could take away, education and being able to read. So we've started an adult literacy program. We also started teaching jewelry as well as greeting cards. And this is Dane. She lives in the village next to the garbage dump. She's 23 years old, has a child who's about 6 months old. She's married in the village next to the garbage dump. She has 6 brothers and sisters. She has a grade 6 education. And thankfully, she hasn't had any serious illnesses yet. But her life hasn't been easy. Her mother had a house, borrowed some money from a bad organization, had to pay extra interest. So she ran away to try to get away until she was able to repay. And Dane has been working in the garbage dump for 5 years. In fact, in 2016, in one of the earliest times when I was visiting, I happened to have her in that picture. So I don't know if you can tell, but this is Lynn on the far, I guess, your left-hand side. And it's Dane on the far right-hand side with the red and blue hat and the red bandana. And then you can see her actually, in the next slide, you can actually see her working up top there. And I was actually shocked to be going through my pictures and thinking, wow, that's Dane. I know Dane. And there she is. But you can definitely tell that's her. The situation is terrible. Getting up early in the morning, collecting garbage all day, earning less than a dollar for that. The risk of stepping on sharp-edged metal, broken glass, old needles, which could lead to nasty wounds. Scavengers run the risk of contracting infectious disease, exposed to toxic chemicals, lead, mercury, pesticides. Risk of serious diseases such as hepatitis, tuberculosis, even AIDS. Scavengers have been killed or injured either by garbage trucks, being run over by them, or getting garbage dumped on them, skin infection, backaches, eye infection, respiratory disorder, intestinal infections. They may get bacteria on their hands or whatever, and then they put it in their mouth or in their eyes. Children oftentimes work alongside their parents. And in Simri, what they do in this garbage dump is they open all the garbages and they get out decomposing food and they collect it into another bag so that they can, at least they don't eat it, they use it for pig feed. But still, could you imagine opening up all the gross garbage, taking them? Anyways, so far, Dane has been fortunate and hasn't had any serious diseases or infections. And we're glad to be working with Dane. You know, she has a 6-month-old baby girl. So help us to help people like Dane find dignified work so she doesn't have to put herself at risk of these kinds of diseases. This year, we also have some large ceramic mugs there for $25. It's not a Christian organization, but it is a fair trade organization. And we're hoping that even though it's not a Christian one, that we're able to work with them more and tell them about Jesus. So please purchase them so we can continue our relationship with them. We also have t-shirts from the Sewing Project like last year. And this is a pastor's wife who's making t-shirts. And she's also sewn some Bible covers. And so that's kind of cool. She's actually very talented in sewing. So if you can help her with the Bible covers, which is the next slide. So that's there. And while we do want to help improve the lives of the poor villagers, you know, our lives are only really improved when we can introduce Jesus. And so with every vocational ministry we have, we also run an Alpha program. And so we figured out, for about 10 weeks of Alpha, 30 people, it's actually about $300 because it's a dollar a meal and so reasonable. So, you know, a small investment that can open the door to entire communities or churches to help people enter the kingdom. This is the greeting card, ladies, that we do, and we're running Alpha there. But please pray, because there were 9 ladies that raised their hand to accept Christ, and then the other villagers got mad and upset, and then they started saying, it's a foreign religion, you're, you know, getting away from your culture, and because when they're really poor, they're actually very superstitious, so anything wrong that happens in the village all of a sudden becomes the fault of Christianity that's been entered in, things like that. So please, please pray for that village. In the past 3 years, we've introduced Global Alpha to the CNMA Khmer churches, and in that time, there was about 70 people in the 3 years that have come to faith. So please pray about them too, because it is they readily accept, but then it's the discipleship and helping them really understand who Jesus is. I guess I kind of went through a couple slides there. So
this slide is a picture of 19 of the people who accepted Jesus through an Alpha course actually getting baptized. So, next slide. You know, when we make a confession that we believe in Jesus, we believe that Jesus and the Holy Spirit become alive in us. And with faith and obedience to his commands, he transforms our lives. And we then become ambassadors or witnesses to the kingdom and to his glory. We become whole and complete with him in our lives. But from a heavenly perspective, we're all very poor. We're all oppressed and downtrodden souls because of our human condition. And we suffer from brokenness, a broken relationship with God, a broken relationship with our neighbors, and a broken relationship even with ourselves. And so that's why our ministry is developing a holistic approach to restoring those broken relationships and restoring the whole person in community with God and one another. We're focused on something we call vocational transformation, which we believe happens when we create an environment that brings together 3 different pillars of training: spiritual formation, our relationship with God, community development, our relationship with our neighbor, and skills training, our relationship with ourselves. With vocational transformation, the vocational side recognizes that education and experience are critical to be able to step out of a life of poverty into a sustainable life for families to thrive. And the transformation focuses on restoring and building up the broken relationships. And with that, we believe that apprentice in vocational training can help complete the picture. In Cambodia, we've identified a number of service sectors that we would like to be able to develop an opportunity for people to flourish once they've been trained. Areas such as handicraft services, which we have been working with over the last couple of years. Vehicle repair. Technology services. Technology is a huge enabler in poor countries. Most people have cell phones long before they have anything else. And that access to information opens up the world to them. Manufacturing services. A lot of men lack the skills to do a trade that would allow their families to rise to a different level in the economy. So, in January, we will be returning to Cambodia with Work of Your Hand Canada. Work of Your Hand is a fully qualified charity in Canada that can issue tax receipts, and we have a board that's providing oversight and accountability. And Work of Your Hand is able to send out its own staff to do its own charitable work. So we will be their first missionaries. And we will be working with Cambodian CMA churches in the future to continue to run Alpha. For example, in July, we have an opportunity to go and help a Cambodian CMA church in a community with 190 other church pastors who want to come and learn Alpha. So we're excited about what the future brings. We'd like to share now our proposal plans for the next year so you have some perspective on where we're heading and what you can be praying for. Our goal is to establish Work of Your Hand Cambodia to be a parent company for the business service centers such as the automotive, handicraft, and other things. And through those service centers, we hope to take on apprentice, contribute a portion of the profits from those vocational centers back into the training programs. We hope to help fund community development efforts, and with the help of these service centers, also help the startup of local churches, which we're hoping to undertake in a year or two. We'll also be establishing a landholding company for the sole purpose of buying and selling land in Cambodia. And that's a complicated issue I won't get into, but it's a necessary thing we need to do. In Cambodia, there is so much brokenness. It can sometimes be overwhelming. We continue to focus on the community we've been working on over the last few years. And to help you understand what that looks like, and more importantly, to let you see what it looks like so maybe you'd consider coming visiting us. And we have a video of the community to show you, so you have a better idea of what to pray for. Our goals for Phnom Dai, as we've already touched upon, we need to establish a landholding company so then we can purchase this land and eventually build classrooms and a community center and a church. We are hoping that we will engage an organization called Engineering Ministries International, which helps to develop plans and blueprints for further construction. And our hope is to also, in this community especially, get the groundwater tested. The issue in this community is being close to the garbage dump. We're not sure about how much toxin has entered into the food system, into the crops, into the animals themselves. So we want to help the people in the community begin to understand their health issues and training so they can make some better decisions in the future. We also hope to run more alpha classes, start discipleship training for the graduates of those classes, continue to teach English and Bible classes, and help the children start a regular Sunday school and Sunday service. And skills training, we're going to continue along the lines with handicraft services for the women, and we hope to expand the language training in both Khmer and English for the adults in the future. Needless to say, we need partners more than ever. As A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, used to say, there are three ways for you to get involved: pray, go, or give. A.B. Simpson himself, as the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, was actually never able to go overseas as a missionary. The story is told where he had a dramatic dream about going to China and serving the people in China, and this dream was so realistic to him that he just wanted to get on the boat and go. And so as he spoke to his wife about this, she agreed. This was a powerful dream. And she agreed to help, you know, pack suitcases and prepare food, etc., and take everybody down to the boat and to see him off. She wasn't prepared to go. So he never had the opportunity to actually serve overseas. He visited, but never had the opportunity to be there. So as people involved in God's kingdom are asked to pray, give, or go, for us, there's a couple of ways that you can engage with us. We really covet your prayers. In Cambodia, sometimes things can be pretty dark, pretty daunting, and we know when people are praying for us. And so we'd love to have you on our newsletter so you can understand what we're facing and how you can be praying for us. Come and join us. You know, as there's opportunities to serve potentially as short-term teams in the future or as interns, come for a little bit longer and stay. We've had people who've come for a month to teach sewing. Those T-shirts that we showed and talked about, a lady from Calgary came and spent a month doing that.
And, of course, Sarah came, so that was awesome.
Sarah, Sarah came and spent a month with us as well. And, you know, we're all given gifts and talents, and God blesses us with those, not to hang on to for ourselves, but to use those to further His kingdom. Who knows what God would like you to do with your skills. And finally, please consider supporting us. This is an area that we find hardest to ask for, but very critical. We need to raise our own financial support for the future. And financial support for us falls into three areas. Support for us personally, support for our Cambodian co-workers that are working in the villages that we're working in, and support for the projects that will allow us to develop these self-sustaining businesses. After the service, if you're interested in any of these things and want to talk to us more, we'll be out in the lobby and you can come and talk to us. But you can also go to our website if you're interested in helping to support us at this location, workofyourhand.com, and make a one-time or monthly donations there. How do we know that God is in this? You know, we have learned that while He can, God doesn't seem to do things quickly. Unfortunately. Yeah. In 2008, God gave us a vision for developing vocational transformation in Cambodia, and He still continues to have His hands on this over 10 years later. And when God calls, He also equips. And when we respond in obedience, He is able to take our baby steps of faith and make greater strides in telling the story of His redeeming work to repair broken relationships while inviting us to join Him as ambassadors of the coming kingdom until all have heard and spoken His name. You know, we are so thankful for the continued support for this church. It's nice to know that when we have months of struggle like we've had this past year, we can tell when people are lifting us up in prayer. It's real and it's tangible. And many times it's the only answer to the darkness that continues to grip Cambodia. So we thank you for that.
All right. I want to clarify a couple of things. So we believe here that all of us are on mission, that God knows the time and the place He has us in, that He prepares works for us to participate in. And we are not trying to do a drive-by guilting, although I'm tempted to do drive-by guiltings now and again. We're just trying to say, hey, would you ask Jesus if this is on your heart? You want to be a part of this? And I love partnerships. I love that. Used to be with Samaritan's Purse, and we're partnering with the engineering people, and the engineering guy, Cannondale Weens, in our church, his brother works with the engineering firm, and he's been here and spoken in our church. And as you talk, I'm just like, wow, the threads and the partnerships are so cool. Now, you've been funded with the Alliance in the last year and a half, 2 years, 4 years. And as you need to continue to follow the vision, the best way to do it is in a more of a partnership than a funded model. And you guys are just going, okay, Jesus, if this is what you want us to do, we're just going to move into the partnership model. And we're still all going to heaven. We're still all really good friends. But you've got some things you need to do that you can't do in our current structure. And so you're moving from that. So if you have been giving to Darren and Monaco on the Global Advance line, putting their name down on the envelope, and you want to continue supporting what they're doing, the better way to do it is to go on the donate page, right? And do it through that. It's still tax deductible. And it's still all how God's bringing us all together in partnership. So the stuff you're getting from Bondoon, those are good friends of mine, Garth and Monica. I love those guys, and I know what they're about. The stuff from Laos, Mark and Paula used to be with Kama Services in Laos, and then it became a U.S. thing. And I love how those partnerships have just kind of expanded. And so here's what I want to ask you to do as your pastor. If this vision for what they're talking about excites you, pray for them. Put it in your phone. One of our small groups has adopted you. Pray for them. It's so true. When we flew into Cambodia the first time, as the plane came down into Siem Reap, we could feel the oppression. And the spiritual bondage is so great. And the light of the gospel going in with giving them the ability to gain that dignity is so critical, you guys. And so we just need to cover them in prayer. Secondly, if God puts it on your heart and you go and you pray about it, talk about it with your wife, there's ways to support them. You can buy a whole bunch of greeting cards and then pawn them off to your friends. Don't sell them for a profit. Or if you do sell them for a profit, send them the money. But, you know, you can buy some gifts here, or you could support these ladies, and you guys have a online catalog too, right? Or there's ways online you can see that. Yeah. And then thirdly, if you're like, man, I'm a welder, or I'm an engineer, or I'm this, or I'm that, man, maybe God, you'd provide the opportunity someday for me to go. We can connect you. And I'll tell you what, these guys' heart is huge for Jesus and what he's doing there. So two ways we do that here. We have Moments for Missions where regularly we're going to be communicating with you and praying for you in our services. We're going to videotape that half the time. And we're going to send you a video of us praying for you and doing a thing. And then we got your signatures last night. And this big lantern, we're getting signatures from all our international workers, and we're copying it onto the big lantern. And it's going to be this visible reminder that you're an extension of us as you go, and that we're all family and you need to be connected to the body. Awesome? Right on. Okay, stand up. We're going to pray for these guys. Put your arms out and ask Jesus to cover them. Let's pray. Lord, I love that you prepare works for us, that you give us gifts, that you give us dreams and visions, and that we support each other in that. I thank you for my friends, Darren and Monaco. What a interesting way that we've gotten to know each other and that our friendship has grown. And God, I thank you for their hearts, and I thank you for the way that you're using them in Cambodia. Oh God, would you protect them? First and foremost, would they have health? Would they have strength? Would they have clarity of thought? Would they have wisdom? Secondly, Lord, would you resource them? Would it just be evident that it's you, not them, and that it's your people, and you've just done what we didn't think even possible? But would you care for their needs? And thirdly, Lord, I pray that you would empower them in a unique way, that the gospel would go forward, that many would come to a saving knowledge of you, and that their self-worth and their dignity and the opportunity to learn and to earn would begin to transform a nation. And I know that's your heart and your desire. Thank you, God, that we get to be a part of something so cool across the miles. And we can commend these our friends to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Hey, thanks, you guys. It's good to see you.